First Corinthians 12, if you didn't get there yet. Before 2 Corinthians, after Romans. New Testament. Okay, so I'm excited for a lot of things this year. And I'm most excited about how God is going to glorify Himself in our midst, how His presence is going to be known and experienced in and among us, how His heart will be expressed to our community or to our campus through us. And I'm excited to continue challenging ourselves to daily embrace the vision and the mission of God, not settling for a safe faith. And that's something we talked about last week. But accepting faith as an adventure, not as a security blanket, but you know, as a cloak of righteousness to get out of here and do something, you know, outside of these walls. We've been challenging ourselves to see the church not as a refuge from the world, but as a refuge for the world, a house of prayer for all nations. We want that to be known. We'll talk about vision and about mission. I'm sure of that next week, because like I said, that'll actually be our kickoff service for the semester. But another thing I'm very excited about is really whatever new relationships and, you know, and whatever ways that we come together as people, however those relationships are fostered and developed within Worship Generation this year, and within Christians on Campus this year, and you know, all the groups that we're involved with. I'm excited to continue to see Jesus put the pieces of that puzzle together. The puzzle being us, fitting us together. That means He's not done with us. And that's an area that's been on my heart the past few weeks. So perhaps as a precursor to our actual relaunch next week, I want to read these words together. Just verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, follower of Jesus Christ, he says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Let's read those words again. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The Spirit manifests Himself in each life of each follower, each disciple of Jesus Christ, in a way that is meant to be profitable to all. That's why it doesn't work to actually not plug in somewhere. And it's easy to do that, especially the bigger a group you get in, it's really easy to just sort of come and spectate and go home and, you know, maybe attending services, but not so much actually involved within the body of Christ. The passage here says that we've all been specifically gifted. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So that means your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your sensitivities were given not so you could go, "Wow, I'm spiritual this way," but actually so we could each of us say, "This is what I have to offer you, Lord, and it's for the profit of these people around me, my brothers and sisters in you." Now, how does that pertain to a little bit of what I said earlier? Well, what's been on my heart is, you know, and we went to a campus minister's retreat just a few weeks ago, and we basically had the same prayer request as the door or 5:45 service, which, by the way, you want to hear a sweet testimony of unity within Christians on Campus? We didn't file our paperwork on time because we're dorks. And so in order to renew, we didn't get a booth basically on time because all the businesses in Chico went and got in there first, and I don't know why they allowed them to do it. But so we didn't have a booth on campus for this week, and I had mentioned that to those people just, you know, as a bummer or whatever, and Jamie and Jeff talked about it, and they're like, "You can share our booth." You know why that's especially cool is because we're the only two campus groups that have services that meet at the exact same time. There's a lot of unity and camaraderie being fostered within the church on Chico State as a campus. And I think it's an amazing thing. I think it's a strong testimony. We don't want to compete for the same butts and seats. There's 40,000 to reach. So for a few years now, and we had the same prayer request as they did, which was just simply that, you know, we've encouraged cross fellowship this past year especially, and, you know, just get out there, try groups out, you know, be faithful to going places and, you know, just experience different elements of, you know, the body of Christ and, you know, not just even with campus groups, plug into a church, you know, get out there, experience the body. And yet, we had the same, again, prayer request as they did, that being, we also need people who are going to plug in specifically here and serve specifically here. And so that's been our harder prayer for this year, is that more and more people will take hold and, you know, grab the torch here and basically, you know, run with it. I want to release people to go crazy with their imaginations. But for years now, when it comes to, you know, leadership or servant, you know, and basically if you become a leader somewhere, all that does is give you a right to serve. So it's not any, like, great, you know, honor or anything. It's just saying, yeah, you're officially sanctioned to serve within this capacity. So a leader is a servant. That's Jesus' model. But I've struggled with this paradox in leadership for a few years now, that I know we need more people involved. I know we need more people engaged in this ministry in a way that transcends merely, again, attending services. But I also know that I don't always have specific roles to fill. This has been my experience for the past few years. I don't always have specific ministry jobs that I'm, you know, looking for slots. And I for years now, I've been like, oh, I wish I had something because I feel, you know. And so I don't have a list that I'm waiting to plug people into. And yet I know that people need to step up and own this ministry just as they own any ministry, through community, through service, through love. So I want the roles we take on to be specific. I've come to these conclusions. I want the roles we take on to be specific to us and to our environment as a community of disciples of Christ. And I don't want to just copy the standard procedure and generalize everything in service. I want us actually to say, what do we need to do? What, you know, what responsibilities do we need to take hold of? And what it is it's a call for true involvement and true interaction and true communication within a team that we'll build. It's a call for each of us to truly be who we were truly made and meant to be. So after a few years of having this leadership conflict, the Lord really spoke to me recently about it and really illuminated why the strategy I've come to observe with my head has never really agreed with what was deeper in my heart, what I held, you know, in the deepest place to be true. I know it'll be the same with you guys. You'll get what I'm saying in a second. As we see in Scripture, this being one example, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he begins to speak of unity and diversity and spiritual gifts, our calling as the church, you know, how we want to come across. A united fellowship is a fellowship of diversity. Ephesians 4 echoes these words that are in 1 Corinthians 12. Different strengths, different giftings, different talents, different sensibilities, different sensitivities. But when we all take hold of who God made each of us to be in His infinite creativity, because He is the supreme artist and we are His great workmanship, His poema, there's a harmony of fellowship that occurs in the process when we all take hold of who we were supposed to be. Not who someone else was supposed to be, who we wish we were, but who we were actually made to be. Because only we can be who we were made to be. And I think about that in light of how a group usually functions, or how many of us may have experienced it. And I'll admit I'm a bit convicted when it comes to that. That's the reason that I've been confused for a few years now. I think that maybe too often we look for people to serve who are carbon copies of ourselves in any given ministry. You know, and we see that in many church settings, a sort of ideal which says, well, as soon as you conform to all that we are, you're one of us. And yet, as we involve and engage and interact this year, we have to be committed to bringing about the diverse unity Scripture talks about. Maybe we'll need to be less concerned with filling jobs, maybe more concerned with what God is doing in our hearts and how He's calling us to serve Him with it. Now, I'm not saying to just involve and include everyone wherever you go for no reason at all with nothing, you know, just randomly. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about saying, hey, serve Jesus even though you don't believe in Him. No, I'm obviously not talking about those things. But I am talking about a freedom that exists when we explore our diversity for the purpose of discovering who God created each of us to be. So less concerned perhaps with filling jobs and more concerned with what God is doing in our hearts and how He's calling us to serve Him and those around us with it. Now, what's hard about that? Well, it's a bit mystical of a concept. It's hard to embrace because it's not easy to define. So I don't know where that will lead. I just know it's true. I know that to accept new relationships in a fellowship is to submit to God, changing us, shaping us. Each new person who plugs into this fellowship or any other should be an indicator or an example that God is still working on us, still changing us, that He's not done with us. So we need to look, and not only within church groups, not only within fellowships we attend, but even within groups of friends. that, you know, as God brings alongside another, you know, believer into, say, a group of friends that you fellowship with, just on a small level, that that's His commitment, His faithfulness to continue your evolution and your changing in that process. That's what I want to encourage us in tonight.